Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, May 31st, 2016. I am Jason Powell. On the site today, my live review of WWE Raw, Will Pruitt's pause review on Raw, and my WWE Raw hit list in print form. It's most likely that the Raw viewership and ratings information will be delayed this week due to the Memorial Day holiday. So I don't expect those numbers until sometime on Wednesday, probably afternoon, could be morning. I guess it just depends. But I don't think WWE is looking forward to these numbers because they had very strong sports competition last night with Game 7 of the NBA Western Conference Finals and then Game 1 of the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Stanley Cup Final, actually, between the San Jose Sharks and the Pittsburgh Penguins. And you could kind of tell watching that show last night, which we'll get into when I get to the hit list. But I want to start today by talking about GLOW. Believe it or not, after all these years, it is becoming a comedy series on Netflix. It has inspired a show by the same name called GLOW. The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling promotion was around. It had television in 86 through 1990, and I watched it. Was never a huge fan, but it was wrestling, and I was bitten by the wrestling bug big time at that point in my life, and so I watched a lot of those episodes. It was on in a wrestling block, I think, if my memory serves, and so I was like, why not watch it? Wasn't the greatest, but that said, I have very high hopes for this, because Netflix ordered a 10-episode season. It's created by, I'm probably going to butcher the names, Liz Flahive of Homeland, and then Carly Mensch of Orange is the New Black. Jenji Kohan and Tara Herman are the executive producers of the show. And Jenji Kohan is the name that really jumps out at me, because I'm a fan of her work. She does the Orange is the New Black show. And then that's all. Orange is the New Black is on Netflix. It's a series that they put out there in a way where you can binge watch it. And basically, when that thing drops, my girlfriend and I do binge watch as quickly as possible. And then she also did a show called Weeds that was on Showtime. That was a lot of fun. That was my first exposure to her writing and her creation, if you will. And I enjoyed that show as well. Orange is the New Black, I mean, it's proof that. I mean, okay, Weeds, first off, she had a strong female lead. She had a really wacky female sidekick in Celia. But Orange is the New Black is one of the shows that she knows how to make a really great female ensemble dramedy, if you will, work. This one is labeled as a comedy, but I'm hoping it is more of a dramedy, where it's kind of a mixture. I hope they're not just going for all-out laughs with this thing. Not that it can't work, but I mean, that's what I know her is basically these dramedies that she does. Both Weeds and Orange is the New Black would fit that description, and I'm hoping that's what this is. But I think there's potential for this to be a lot of fun. I don't know if it's going to be a big hit with the wrestling fans necessarily. I mean, the wrestling element will be there, of course. I guess it just depends what you're looking for. But if you just kind of go into this, if you're drawn in by the wrestling fan aspect, or just the pro wrestling aspect, I should say, but you're not like hoping for, I don't know what you'd be looking for with that. If you just kind of go in with an open mind, if it's anything like the other shows that she's done, and for that matter, Liz Flahive doing Homeland, which also has a very strong female lead, I think you'll dig it. I really think that if you kind of give this a chance, it should be good. If it's as good as these other shows that the creators, if you will, the executive producers are tied to. I think this has the potential to be a lot of fun. We'll see. It might be a complete disaster, and I'll regret endorsing this up front, but I'm very much looking forward to this whenever, no release date announced, but 10 episodes. So whenever that drops, it's something I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot about in the months ahead. WWE Money in the Bank has 7 entrants. Despite the fact that WWE really didn't mention anything about 7 entrants on Raw last night, nothing in their graphic, but if you go to the WWE website's, on the Money in the Bank page, the graphic still shows 7. And at this point, I think the question, of course, is who will that 7th person be? Assuming they don't just all of a sudden change that graphic so it has 6 only. I mean, they were talking about it as 7. I mean, they were making it seem like there's going to be 2 SmackDown qualifiers or 2 Money in the Bank qualifiers on SmackDown last week. And then when there was only 1, it was certainly seemed like it would be taking place on Raw. My guess is that Maybe they're just waiting for Bray Wyatt or even Randy Orton to receive medical clearance on this. I would lean Bray Wyatt for it, but we'll see. I haven't heard, and you know, I think with the six guys in there, it can be really good. I don't know that it needs seven necessarily, but I think they will have seven. Somebody threw out the idea of Brock Lesnar on Twitter. I think they want to see Brock Lesnar with the Money in the Bank briefcase, and given that he lost the title to the Money in the Bank, would make sense for his character to go after it. I just don't know that WWE is going to put him in that match, and I just don't know if that's the direction they would go. And you know, everything I've heard about Brock is that you know, sometime before SummerSlam, but I guess stranger things have happened. But I would be surprised if I saw that one. I'm leaning toward it being Bray Wyatt. Okay, on to the WWE Raw hit list. As I mentioned, the print form is available on the main page at prowrestling.net. I read it here to make it a little bit easier for those of you who are at work and just have an easier time listening to an audio update than you do reading a long-form article. As always, we will start with the WWE Raw hits, then we'll get to the misses, and then I will get into some bonus thoughts that have not appeared in print yet. The first hit is the Club attacking John Cena. This was an excellent swerve. I believe the AJ Styles character when he said the Club should go separate ways. Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows seemed to cement that when they attacked New Day early in the show and then put the tag division on notice. It was cool to see the turn play out so suddenly. Had they booked Styles and Cena to team against the Club, it would have given viewers plenty of time to consider the possibility that Styles was going to turn on Cena. Even if they didn't think that was going to occur, it still would have been a finish that they would have considered as a possibility, and the surprise would not have been as impactful. Instead, they did it in a way that caught most viewers off guard and in a high-profile spot on the night built around John Cena's return. The next hit is Enzo Amore and Big Cass against the Dudleys. The live crowd was flat for a mostly atrocious first half of the show. The turning point came with the high-energy promo by Enzo and Cass that brought the crowd back to life. It was surprising to see them plow through the Dudley boys in a regular Raw match. I thought they might drag this out until the pay-per-view, and perhaps they still will, but this program was lopsided in the babyface's favor, even when Enzo was out with the head injury and Cass was manhandling both Dudleys by himself. The next hit is Dolph Ziggler against Baron Corbin. We saw shots of Ziggler in his college wrestling days. We watched Dolph put on amateur wrestling headgear. And then he kicked Corbin right square in the balls to avenge his loss at Extreme Rules. I laughed. I still wish this feud had been won by Corbin in a dominating fashion. But I got a kick out of the babyface outsmarting the heel in this manner. The final hit is Dean Ambrose, Sami Zayn, and Cesaro against Kevin Owens, Alberto Del Rio, and Chris Jericho. A good main event, with entertaining backstage interviews from both teams. And that's where I ended it. I don't have much to say about this. I mean, it was fine. It just was kind of the right main event for a show that they didn't really spend, you know, they kind of phoned in just because of the sports competition, which we'll get to with the Raw misses, starting with the overall show. WWE ran opposite a big NBA Game 7 showdown playoff game and the first game of the NHL Stanley Cup Final. They countered with a show that came off as if they were very aware of the strong competition and opted to wave the white flag. If you missed Monday's show, go out of your way to see the Club turning on John Cena, which actually aired during halftime of the big NBA game, but everything else was missable in terms of storyline progression. Next miss is Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. Rollins came out several times and left several times without saying or doing anything. The segment epitomized the idea of WWE not giving away anything due to the strong sports competition. Rollins played his role well, and the Reigns promo was fine aside from the tired guy line explanation. Still, this went on much longer than it needed to, and did not leave me anxious to see the next chapter of the top babyface who should be the top heel facing the top heel who should be the top babyface. And the next miss is Shane McMahon, Stephanie McMahon, and New Day's opening segment. I get the idea of not sharing much information about the brand split, or I guess extension, but I don't understand their decision to send the nothing to see here message in the opening segment of the show. The hype for the split was lousy. Michael Cole's corporate lingo explanation was absurd. Perhaps WWE should have held off on announcing the move until they actually had something to say other than that SmackDown is going live on Tuesdays. I realize there was strong competition, but I really came away feeling like WWE doesn't know how they intend to approach the brand split, which is downright frightening. The next miss is Stephanie McMahon scolding Charlotte. The only thing missing was the unanswered Stephanie McMahon face slap, and then the emasculation of Charlotte would have been complete. This made zero sense. Not only did Stephanie slap Ric Flair 2 weeks ago, but she's feuded with her own parents over the years. So unless there's more to the story and there's some type of swerve in play, I have no idea what purpose this segment served other than to continue the far-fetched Stephanie is suddenly a good person routine. The next miss is the Usos against Tyler Breeze and Fandango. I will laugh hysterically if WWE spent all this time building up Golden Truth only to split them up on draft night. That said, their feud with Breeze and Fandango is channel-changing material for this viewer. There's no denying the casual fans seem to be digging it based on their chants, but the feud isn't doing anything for me. Next miss is Rusev against Zack Ryder. I can't stress enough how bad the new version of the Accolade is. It looked cool when Rusev locked Little Kalisto in the move during their feud, but the move didn't work with Zack Ryder. Rusev basically pulled Ryder on top of him, and it looked like the hold consisted of him holding on to Ryder's face rather than arching his back. The good news is that there's no sign of Rusev dropping the U.S. title to John Cena. Rusev needs to beat Titus O'Neil clean and decisively. Their feud needs to be about building up Rusev as a monster heel, not about elevating Titus O'Neil through parody booking. And the final miss of the day is Natalya against Dana Brooke. Charlotte followed up that big angle with her father by getting yelled at by Stephanie McMahon and by serving as a distraction in this match. Meanwhile, Dana's strength is talking, yet we still haven't heard why she joined Team Charlotte. Natalya feels flat coming out of two really bad pay-per-view finishes. However, it is nice to see Becky Lynch back in the title picture. Okay, on to the Raw bonus thoughts. Big Show's return. He was in a segment with Apollo Crews. I think they want to have us wondering whether he's going to be a mentor for Apollo Crews or if he's kind of setting him up for a fall. Is he going to end up being the latest older guy to be bothered by the new era guys? Problem is, I don't care, and I really don't think the masses care. It was nice to get a break from Big Show's character while he was away. I hate to say it, but it just wasn't long enough. I don't know that there can be a long enough time for Big Show to spend away before he can come back relevant again. I feel bad for the guy because it's not his fault. He's just been booked into a spot where it's going to be very difficult to make the fans care, to get invested in him again, and I don't know that new guy versus old guy is going to do it. I mean, I just say at this point, keep him heel, I guess. I don't have a strong opinion on this. I just don't care. The Miz, Maryse, Naomi, and all three Social Outcast members are away shooting the Marine 5 movie, the straight-to-DVD classic, I assume. Miz is the lead character in the film, which legitimately started shooting, I believe, today. I have no idea how long the other wrestlers are going to be gone shooting this thing, how big of roles they have, but Miz, it looks like, will be away with the Intercontinental title for the foreseeable future. The last Marine movie, I looked it up, it was filmed, it didn't list a start and end date specifically, but it was filmed in April and concluded filming in May. So, I mean, even if it was like the being, seven, 8 weeks at the extreme, I don't think it's going to be a long absence. There's nothing saying he can't pop up on Raw at some point. If you're going to start, please don't hit me up with 30-day rule. They've ignored it so many times. And the only time I hear that is when people want to see the champion drop the title. When it's somebody that they like, then they're willing to kind of, it's okay. There's been precedent set. Well, yeah, there's been precedent set here too. And just, it's not that big of a thing to me. They could have had him drop it. I wonder if there was some debate going into SmackDown, the fact that that was Miz's last date for a while, television date with WWE because of this movie role. I do wonder if that there was some consideration given to putting the title on Cesaro on that show and something changed. I'm not quite sure. But it looks like Miz will be away and they're going to do Facebook updates with Miz from the set. He can, I guess it works with his character as far as him being able to kind of play into this, but I can't say I'm excited about the movie. Could you? If you were looking for me to get all fired up about the Marine 5 like I was about this new Glow Netflix series, think again. I'm trying to think if I've seen any Marine other than the first Marine movie, and I know some of you are like, how can you not? How could I? Just these movies are awful. But I'm not going to lose any sleep over Miz being away with the Intercontinental title. It'd be different if I thought they had someone in mind, but I think they want Miz to be the champion for a bit. I'd hate to see them just give Cesaro a quick fluky title run where he loses the title to Miz quickly when Miz returns, something like that. I'd rather see it go to somebody that they have some plans for, that there's a real plan in place and it's not just kind of a temporary champion. So I'm okay with this. And I really wish I had more for you guys as far as bonus thoughts are concerned, but this was just a nothing Raw. There was nothing to it. I mean, it you could really tell, other than the John Cena segment, which worked. That I just didn't feel like they had a lot to offer. I think they intentionally went the took the approach they did because of the competition, and so next week can't possibly be worse than this show, can it? It wasn't a bad last half of the show. It just, other than the big angle was seen in the club, everything just kind of felt pointless, and that's why I had so little to say about the main event too. It just, it's like, okay, you had a six-man tag and the added little hook of them all being Money in the Bank qualifiers, but it's not like anything's really at stake. It's just and it was a fine match, nothing wrong with it, but it's one of those things where like so much of what we saw on Raw last night, if you did watch the NBA game or you did watch the NHL game or even something else, you didn't miss much as far as Raw is concerned. There just wasn't a whole. It was fine for the last half of the show if you watched it. First half was very painful. Yeah, if you're somebody who opted for one of the playoff games, I don't blame you. And I don't feel like you missed much. Again, seek out the. Well, if you watch next week, I'm sure they'll replay the AJ Styles turn on John Cena. But I really like the way that was done. I like Cena's promo that he cut leading up to it. Didn't care for JBL bringing Memorial Day into it and trying to use that to put more heat on the club for daring to attack John Cena on this day, or whatever the line was. It wasn't that strong, but it was pretty close to it. Could have done without that. It's like the angle spoke for itself. You don't need to use Memorial Day, because God, how could someone attack John Cena on Memorial Day after he gave a speech? Come on, just unnecessary. I didn't like the way they used that. But otherwise, again, next week has to be a better show. It just does. And for that matter, hopefully tonight's edition of TNA Impact Wrestling will be a better show than Raw was. I will be covering that show live as it airs on Pop at 8 Central, 9 Eastern Time. TNA is doing a much better job. I've been saying it a lot. For the first 5 months of this year, they have really been doing an excellent job. I can't think of a better creative stretch, and you can point to, well, they've had better matches and things. Yeah, I mean, there's been wrestlers that maybe you've been more excited by in the past that were there or something, but I don't remember 5 months of consistent booking, not at the level that it has been. And I've been, if you're new to this, it's not like I'm a rah-rah TNA guy. I've been very critical of them over the years, but I have enjoyed the first 5 months of the year, and hopefully that will continue as they continue to build toward the Slammiversary show. I think tonight they're doing Pick Your Poison, which is Lashley gets to choose the opponent for his Slammiversary opponent, Drew Galloway, who gets to do the same for Lashley. He will pick Lashley's opponent. So join me for that. The .NET members will be listening to my Q&A audio show a little bit later today. That show was bumped back a day just because of the holiday. And for that matter, if you're like, hey, where was Monday's Daily All Access podcast? Well, it was a holiday, folks, in the U.S., and so I slacked. I took the day off, and as much as I could, with Raw coming up, with Raw taking place last night. So no All Access show yesterday, but obviously we're back on track today. And just another in-house note that Will Pruitt is unavailable this week, so there will not be a Pretentious Wrestling podcast this week. However, Jake Barnett is going to be getting together with me for the .NET Weekly audio show coming up either Wednesday or Thursday. We haven't set a day yet, but he and I will be talking, I'm sure, quite a bit about the brand split and everything going on in the world of pro wrestling. And then also, I'm hoping that Zach Zimmerman will be able to give you guys an all-access audio review of NXT's television show on Thursday. Well, the show's on Wednesday, but Zach's audio would be on Thursday because it's the go-home show for the next TakeOver special that will be coming up next week already. So if Zach can't do it, I will. One way or another, we'll get you guys your NXT audio review here on the All Access side. But I will be by tomorrow. Not sure exactly what we'll be chatting about. Maybe reviewing TNA Impact. We'll see what happens. And hey, real quick, take a moment. Subscribe to the Daily Podcast. Rate and review us on iTunes. All that helps. I really appreciate anyone who has taken a moment to try to help spread the word about the site. And when I send out the link for this audio, as many of you have seen it already, take a minute to give it a simple retweet. Doesn't have to be today. Can be tomorrow, too. So if you've already, I'm not going to go back and look for that. Hey, if you see it pop up, it's always appreciated if you just take a second to give it a quick retweet, let people know about the podcast. You can follow me at ProWrestlingNet. All right, on that note, everybody, thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you again soon. Take care.